When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time on a Monday. Big weekend for the Nuggets, Avs. Congratulations to the Denver Pioneers. They are champions for the 10th time in their school's history. That sets an NCAA record. We're going to get back to that conversation a bit later. Everybody wanting the goaltender to come up, but not so fast. You want to join the show, be a part of the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. Two ways to do it. Watch the show and hang out in the Twitch chat room at twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom or hang out over on the RamosLaw.com text line. That's 303-713-1043. A couple of things real quick. Reacting to our best trophy in sports. Kevin in Illinois is over on the Twitch feed. He's talking about some college football rivalry trophies. I know, like, what's CSU in Wyoming? The Golden Boot? Something along those lines. That's a pretty fun trophy. And it only means stuff to us because nobody else cares. So it can't be... can't be a top dog trophy when the only people that care are us.
Yeah, like the people that went to that school. But there are some cool ones.
Yeah, like rivalry trophies.
There are, yes, yes. Spot on there.
And then other people are representing the Indy 500. I didn't know this. The Borg Warner trophy is what you get when you win the Indy 500. I thought you just kissed. Is that where you kiss the bricks?
Yeah, and you
and
drink some
milk over you, right?
Yeah.
I thought that's what you won.
I think you drink the milk. Do you pour it on your head?
I think you do both.
If you want to.
Yeah, I would. What's I'd do it like Stone Cold, and I'd slam them together, and I'd
boom.
Chuck milk.
Yeah, that would be probably smart. Yeah. Right, really smart. Shatter some glass along the way.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It is glass.
Yeah, so that probably wouldn't be smart to do that, Josh.
All right, I won't then. But yeah, keep them coming in. 303-713-1043. Stoke, before we dive into Nuggets and Avs, I did have a Broncos question for you with the week before the draft. Next week, in fact, a week from today, the Broncos will unveil their new uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You're pretty fired up for that? You see the Jets did it today?
No, I didn't see that.
Well, you didn't miss it.
I don't like the Jets. So I don't care about the Jets.
Their uniforms look exactly the same as they did.
Green and white. And
with one black
uniform,
which they had a year ago.
Right.
I don't see much difference with these uniform changes. I don't imagine I'm going to see a lot of difference with the Broncos change, but hopefully I'm wrong there. What do you think happens this week? I thought we could see Michael Penix Jr. start to climb the way J.J. McCarthy and then Bo Nix sort of did, but he didn't. You know, he's still talked about as a possible pick by the Raiders at 13. That's pretty much all I've seen after his pro day and medicals came back. He didn't really climb. Is it just going to be quiet on the quarterback front here for the week and then leading up to it next week? Will we see any more shuffles, shakeups, or is the pecking order pretty much set in stone?
Yeah, I think it's going to be quiet now. I don't think you see anybody moving up, trading right now. I think you'll see that stuff happen the day of the draft. I don't see anybody making a big move because you don't know who Washington is going to take. You don't know who New England is going to take. And so you want to see who's available if you're going to make that big jump. Broncos, Vikings, Raiders, or even the Giants try to move up a couple spots to the number four spot, number five spot. So I think it's gonna be quiet.
Okay.
And we won't get a lot of action here until draft day, which you said is next Thursday.
Next Thursday, round
next
one.
Thursday.
Yep.
Okay. So a week and a half away there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, man. This is good stuff. It just to me it's gonna be offense all day, every day, and most probably a quarterback. Now, do they get their quarterback at 12? Do they got to move up to 4? Do they meet him at 6? At 9? You know, like a lot of different ways to try to find that quarterback. But I think it's certainly going to be offense, and I think the Broncos are in play here to make a big move on Thursday.
We will, in fact, coming up at 12:30, dive a little bit deeper into this with some of the mocks. We're going to get like final versions of mocks coming this week and next week. I'm with you, though. I do think it's quiet. I think everybody's kind of putting final touches on draft boards and plans and things that they're going to do when that first round officially kicks off. And then next week it gets crazy. Monday you'll have, obviously we'll be reacting to games one from the Avs and Nuggets playoffs, but you'll have the jersey release. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll continue with playoff conversation. And then obviously Thursday night, it's draft night. And then through the weekend, it is a full-on go with the Broncos having 8 picks. So a little slow this week. I think you're right on that. And then as soon as Monday with jersey releases, that kind of kicks the party off for draft week.
I think they started their offseason today.
They did. Players reported today.
A little bit different this year because, last year you had the new coach. And so they got to start a little bit earlier.
That's right.
When you got a new coach. So starting it up today, getting started there, and we'll see what the draft looks like. Obviously, free agency also last year was a lot more action-packed. So you had that plus the addition of Sean Payton. This year it's been a lot more quiet. Obviously, couldn't spend in free agency like they did. Had to cut a few guys. And so it's just a little bit different. It's almost, it's real quiet right now. The calm before the storm.
Yeah.
We're going to make that big move and go get that quarterback. I can't wait for next Thursday. I love the draft in general, especially the first round.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love the first round too.
It's so much fun. So looking forward to that, to see how the Broncos navigate those waters and what they do to try to find their quarterback.
When you mentioned them starting offseason workouts today, that's just – come together, work out, eat lunch, be bros? Like, is that kind of pretty much all going on?
Yeah. Usually a pretty fun time, right? You get to see your guys again, and it's different now than what it used to be because they have these different phases.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, we didn't have those types of phases. It was kind of like, you did your workout stuff, and then you had OTAs and you had mini camps, and then that was really it. Now it's... ramped up, so right. They start slow and you can't talk to a coach for the first week or two.
You can't be on a field with a coach or something like
that. Yes, exactly. Okay. Just stuff like that, which is just like, okay. They put these rules in place for a reason, right? Because the coaches and, they don't care about the players.
No, they don't.
So if they can take advantage of you, they will. Need you out here, right? And if you're a young player, you're like, all right, you got to be out there. Need you to meet today. After workout. So that's why these rules are in place for a good reason, to try to not have these guys take advantage of you, the coaches. But yeah, right now, dude, it's awesome. Like you go, you get breakfast, you get a good workout in and a great, great gym. And then afterwards it's like, all right, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Okay, nice day. You want to go play some golf? Want to go to the movie? Like, what are we going to do? Want to go to the mall?
Yeah.
Let's go spend some money. Right. I mean, and then that's me, like, call the wife. Yeah, nope, got to meet with the coach, babe. No, I know. He's a jerk. I know. I just tell him, what am I going to do? I'm trying to keep it. You want me to keep my job?
Right.
So I got to put in extra work here.
It's a good
extra
plan.
Rehab and extra time meeting with my coach. Meanwhile, I'm on the golf course.
Right. Like, wow.
The good old days, man.
Why does your rehab room smell like cigar smoke?
No, I take those clothes off.
Oh, smart.
Yeah,
smart
take those clothes off, man.
But again, this is just ignorance. I don't know. So if we're at the phase one of the OTAs or whatever this is, workouts, and we can't go out on the field with the coach, but we are bored and sitting there, and I'm like, Stoke, you want to go throw a couple balls? We could do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Just as long as no coach is out there.
Okay.
Now they could be up there. Watching you,
right.
And somebody could be filming it, just because you got cameras up there anyway, remotely controlled cameras. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how those things work. You can do whatever you want on your own.
Okay.
Certainly. And so I think in this situation, you probably have some guys go out there and throw and catch a little bit early on here. New quarter. I mean, like if you're Jared Stidham, I'm like, hey, who wants to throw?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're the top guy right mm-hmm. now. And so guess what you want to start doing? You want to start developing those relationships and the chemistry right now. Now, who knows what it's going to look like in 2 months for him, but right now, the more that you can get in and develop that chemistry, the better off you are, right? And mm-hmm. so you don't know what it's going to look like with a young quarterback. That guy might not start right away. So if it's your opportunity, you got everything right. It's almost like we're talking about the Spurs players.
Yeah, you got nothing to lose.
They're out a couple guys. All of a sudden, you got a couple guys that hadn't played a lot. They get to play a lot.
Yeah.
Well, guess what they're going to try to do? They take advantage of that opportunity. Next thing you know, they're around next year. Same thing for a guy like Jared Stidham.
All right, yeah, so it did start today. We'll check in down with Dove Valley and later on as the week goes, and if we learn anything coming out of this, we'll certainly pass that along to you. All right,
and
so
then they give you, like, goodness, I don't know, they give you, like, well, a lot of guys have, like, workout bonuses, so if you make 90% of the workouts, you know, some of these guys are like, all right, $500,000, 90% or 95% of the workouts, right? But then, like, even if you don't have those, it's like they feed you, right? And they still pay you, like, I don't know what it is now. I don't remember what it was. Like, you're like $125 a day.
Oh, you get a per diem?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so at the end of the week, you know, you have your little, like, they have, like, a filing cabinet.
Yeah.
That's what it used to be. And you'd go get your workout sheet out of there, and then, like, at the end of the week, you'd have a check in there. It's like, oh, dang. $500.
Wow.
Like, let's go.
That's a pretty good week.
Yeah, not bad for working out. Dude, I'm working out. I have to work out.
Right.
To keep my job.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to get paid to work out?
Yeah. That's a pretty sweet deal.
That was the craziest thing ever. That was so cool. Like, when I, you know what else I thought was cool? So I thought, because I came from Louisiana Lavi, we had nothing, right? Nothing.
They didn't even have a filing cabinet system, which sounds crazy in the first place.
Right, yes, that's what it was. But certainly they didn't have that. But so, like, being able to get those checks, and it's like, all right, man, golly, that's $500-$600 at the end of the week. Like, go cash them. Like, save up, go cash them. Like, all right, we're going to have some fun. And then the other thing was, is just like, wait, those are free Gatorades? Like, that's that, like, they're like a refrigerator full of Gatorades and waters and stuff. I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Put them in your backpack.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Loading them up to bring home. I mean, it's like unbelievable. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And then all of a sudden, like, you look around and now looking back, like, now you get, I mean, it's like a 5-star restaurant that these guys get. But I did. I mean, that just shows you how much has changed.
See, you and I aren't that different. Now, you did it in football, but I did those same things in the media.
Yeah.
Of like, I've told you before, of like, I'm not eating dinner tonight unless I go to work because they have free food there.
Right.
Because I was so broke. And the same thing, I'm like, those Mountain Dews are for everyone?
Huh.
And everyone leaves this room when the game starts?
Oh.
I'm going to stay here.
I'm just going to hang out.
And I'm going to get 16 Mountain Dews. For the next 4 days of my life.
Josh, where's this at?
I'll show you around.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in the same boat, right? So yeah, we're not that far different, man.
Yeah,
I didn't have no per diem by any means.
Right.
But.
There's a lot of benefits of playing in the NFL. And a few benefits of being in the media.
That's right, That's right. Free salads from time to time. All right, so yeah, that's what we're looking at this week. We'll see what we learn from phase one of workouts down at Dove Valley. Well, what we learned over the weekend is that the Avalanche have themselves a goaltending problem, and it doesn't seem to be going away. They also have a penalty problem. They're taking a lot of those and not very good on the penalty kill. Stoke, I guess if we're looking for something that worries us, we don't have to search too far for the Avalanche. With the Denver Nuggets, the bench is really the only question, right? Health, but you're going to get 6 days off here to get right. They won't play a game until Saturday. I don't know that I have a lot of worries about the Denver Nuggets. I think my only question is, can Michael Porter Jr. continue to be a scorer and not just a rebounder that he was in the run last year? And, you know, in the 10, 12 minutes that Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, or Reggie Jackson are going to be on the floor, can they keep their head above water? That's all I got kind of for the Nuggets.
Yeah, look, when you have the main guys coming back, I think when you look at the starters, the main concern is Michael Porter Jr. And his ability to score the basketball, right? That's the biggest thing there. Caldwell Pope, it's nice whenever he, 3-for-6 night or something like that. That's always an added bonus. But yeah, the biggest concern overall is the bench. Christian's been playing much better.
Yeah,
and Peyton Watson, I think, he was playing really good. Then he had a stretch where it's like, oh, something happened. Michael Malone doesn't trust him here. What's going on with Peyton Watson? And then here at the end of the season, it's like, all right, he has cranked it back up. And, he stopped taking three-pointers. And he's being aggressive going to the rim. And if it's not there, he's passing the basketball, which I love. So, and defensively, he's just been lights out. It's Reggie Jackson.
Mm.
Chicken fingers is Reggie. And watching him on Friday, there was a couple of the worst plays I've ever seen in the NBA. And he was a part of one of them. And then your favorite player. Zeke Nagy was a part of the other one.
One of the worst things I've ever seen.
Where the rebound goes up, and he doesn't even go for the rebound. He lets it hit the back of his head and roll down his back. It's like, I thought he was playing soccer. Like, you know, you're the soccer. Like, he's doing some kind of trick here. And then, you know, Reggie Jackson had a couple plays where it's just like, you can't make as a veteran player. And that's what's so alarming. It's not Christian Brown or Peyton Watson making those plays. It's our veteran player making those plays. I think he got called for a 10-second, or Jamal did during the game. But it's been not very good from him. So, I mean, I got huge concerns with him in the playoffs, and I'm hoping Najee in part of any rotation.
He better not be. He shouldn't touch the floor. He should not touch the floor when it comes to postseason playing time. The other thing about Reggie, it was Friday night in San Antonio. He did it twice in the second half. Brings the ball up the floor. There's 20 seconds on the shot clock, 18 seconds on the shot clock, and he just chucks one up from three. It's not, you know, he's not got a guy in his face. It's a bit of an open shot, but that you're Reggie Jackson. There's 18, 19 seconds left on the shot clock. You do not take that shot.
Never.
And honestly, he's been good about that. He knows the offense isn't him. It doesn't run through him. I just don't know what it's been as of late, if he's trying to prove something or get more playing time. He's smarter than the decisions he's been making as of late. I don't know what this problem is.
Second fingers, how are you feeling? Any better this week?
No, I don't want him out there. I'd rather have that first guy in the front row come play for us.
Oh, nice. Wow.
I don't want him on the floor.
Emergency backup point guard.
Yeah.
I like that.
Whoever, I mean, let Holiday run the...
Justin Holiday?
Justin Holiday. Let him run the point. I mean, I don't want this guy touching the ball.
Wow.
He tries to be Mr. Hero. Ain't nothing.
Oh,
nothing.
You ain't nothing.
Wow. Anymore.
Justin Holiday, like, when he gets going, it's like, all right.
And Malone trusts him so much.
Is there a spot for him in this rotation at all?
I don't think so. I think him and Zeke, I think it's three people. I think it's Peyton, Christian, and then I think it's Reggie, but dialed back quite a bit, depending on what his play looks like.
Yeah. I think, I thought he was going to get pulled against the Spurs,
yeah,
and he didn't. I don't know why. And I think that was one of the reasons. I think that was one of the reasons they lost. I'm like, Michael Malone raged timeout it, you know, and it's like, okay, he's taking Reggie Jackson out. This is brutal. And nope, he left him in there. And I'm like, what? Why is he staying in the basketball game right now? So I don't know if it was one of those things. Hey, I still got confidence in you. You know the playoffs are right around the corner. But that ain't happening in the playoffs.
No, it is not. Malone had a rage timeout in the fourth quarter of that San Antonio game where it was so uncharacteristic of Christian. Christian's closing out to the three-point line. He actually does a good job of closing out, but the shot fake came from a Spurs player. I don't even remember the Spurs player's name, but he's not a three-point shooter. Shot fake. Christian gets up in the air, buys the shot fake from three. Spurs player drives right by him, gets a bucket. And Malone, now he can get mad with some of these rage timeouts. I don't know that I've ever seen him this mad. He calls the rage timeout. He storms out onto the floor like he does. And Christian, he knows he's screwed up. He takes the baseline route to avoid Coach Michael Malone.
Yeah, that's what you do.
It's a smart move by the young fella. But Michael was like, nah, I got to let you know I'm upset. He turned in his direction and didn't, like, go at him. But he let him know he was very, very unhappy and then turned around and ripped the board out of David Adelman's hands. I was like, damn, Christian just heard an earful from Coach Malone. He was not happy about their defensive effort. But I don't – if they were the three seed, which you said earlier, I think we're all kind of freaking out here today. I don't feel worried about the Denver Nuggets right now. I guess this could be the fun question is, I trust Nikola Jokic more than I trust guys like Nathan MacKinnon, because Nikola has more ability based off of the game they play to control – every single aspect of the outcome. And Nathan doesn't have that ability because he doesn't play as much as Nikola plays.
Yeah, when you look at the Nuggets, on Friday I was depressed Friday night. I'm like, what? We got up for the Timberwolves game and everything was on the line and they did such a great job there in the last quarter plus and to win that basketball game. And then it's like I never thought that that game was going to be a loss against San Antonio, and never. And then looked up, is like, okay, we got the basketball, and then Jokic misses a shot, and like, all right, usually a timeout's being called, and they just went on the fast break, and it's like, and then Devontae Graham makes a shot, and it's, wait, we're losing, mm-hmm. and it's 0.9 seconds left. I mean, so that it was depressing. I was pissed. I was. It, like, ruined my Friday night. And then and then after last night and yesterday, watching Minnesota lose, we end up getting a second seed. I'm like, it's all good. It's all good. I think learn from that game against the Spurs, and I think it could be a good thing moving forward. First seed, second seed, whatever. If we got to go play Oklahoma City and we lose to them because they got home court, then, all right, it was a huge deal that we lost on Friday night. But I don't think that's going to happen. If we square off against those guys, we're winning in five, maybe six games mm-hmm. in a series. So I'm not overly concerned about OKC, and I'm okay with how it played out. And I think hopefully moving forward, they can look back and say, all right, yeah, yeah, we got to bring it every single night. If not, I don't care who we play, we're going to lose.
I think in round number one, I love that the Lakers could come to town. I would love for the Lakers to come and get gentlemen swept by the Denver Nuggets. I think in round one, Phoenix and Minnesota is going to be a beautiful series to watch. Those two teams are going to beat the crap out of each other. And then what's Dallas? Los Angeles Clippers version will be pretty fun too, because we know what Dallas has been down the stretch with Luka getting real hot. I still, outside of Boston, and if that's a game seven in Boston for the world championship, yeah, I'll be a little nervous, but I'll still like the Nuggets' chances. I still, even after falling to the two seed and giving up the way they gave up on Friday night, I don't think that there's a basketball team on the planet that can beat the Denver Nuggets four times in 14 days. I just don't see it.
Yeah, they got to play well. You know, that's the thing. It's not going to be as easy as it was last year. Now, you look at, like, okay, what are the ramifications? Really, it's just the one seed in the West, and it's just Oklahoma City. That's it. Boston already had the better record than us, right? So if we face Boston in the finals, they're going to have home court. Other than that, we got home court.
Yeah.
So it's just two teams. That's it. That's just the way it is. They let one slip away, but we were four or five guys in the room. We were all like, what the?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. Everyone was like in shock, but all good. You know what the great news is? We're in the playoffs. We're the second seed. We got everyone healthy.
Yeah.
Everyone's healthy, folks. Mm-hmm. I think I haven't heard anything. Everyone seems to be completely healthy. And like you said, got like 6 days off until the playoffs start. All right. Everything is okay. Right?
Yep.
It could have been, you know, no one got hurt. We're not missing a guy. This guy didn't do it. So, looks like a completely healthy basketball team that's going to be well-rested. Mm-hmm. And we know what happened last time they were well-rested.
Mm-hmm.
They came out on a mission after the All-Star
right.
break. Shout out to Michael Malone. He told us that. He did tell us that.
Yeah, he did. He wanted to tell us a lot.
And I made fun of him about it, and I was wrong, and he was right. Now we got a lot of time to rest up again, so I'm expecting them to come out like on a mission. Jamal's going to be ready to go. So, it's playoff time. I feel good about it.
I got
something to tell you, Josh.
Tell me.
You know what we're doing. There's a sports trivia night coming up.
Okay.
It's free for everyone.
We love sports trivia.
And it's a virtual event. We're trying to raise awareness. It's all about sports and saving lives. My buddy Greg Farber, he donated a kidney back in 2004 to save his dad's life. He now serves on the board of the American Transplant Foundation, located right here in Denver. Greg is the MC for the event, and the American Foundation, they have a vision to make Colorado the first state where nobody dies while waiting for a transplant. Here is your chance to make a difference. Right now, over 1,200 Coloradans are waiting for a life-saving transplant. And as some of you may know, our guy right here, Mark McIntosh, former Colorado sports anchor, is currently waiting for a kidney transplant. Mark and other Coloradans are waiting for kidney transplants to survive right now. Be a part of this unique event, and let's help out. All you got to do is go to AmericanTransplantFoundation.org for more information. This is April 23rd.
April 23rd. We love trivia.
6 o'clock. Sports trivia. Free. It's free. We're trying to raise awareness.
Yep. That's what I was going to say. We love trivia. We love Mark. And we love Colorado being the first to do something as great as that. So let's get it done. Very well said there, Stoke. Always, always want to set the precedent here in the Centennial State. All right, let's take a timeout. When we get back, I want to continue talking a little bit about these Broncos and where they're at here ahead of the NFL draft. They need a quarterback. That seems to be the target with their first pick. Is it really just between McCarthy and Nicks? Can they even get up to McCarthy? Plus, what side of the ball is their focus on with the second pick that doesn't come until the third round? We're going to have that conversation next.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Stoke, you and I are all in on offense with the Denver Broncos. That is what we want to see be selected with their first pick, maybe even their second pick that doesn't necessarily come until, pick 76 in the third round. So I was, doing some prep, looking around for some stuff we can chat about on the show, and I saw a couple of things from the NFL Network. Chad Reuter, who writes for the NFL Network, is mocking some stuff. He has a couple of things that I thought was interesting. He's got MPJ coming to the Broncos at 12. So Bo Nix on the board, and they select Michael Penix Jr. over Bo Nix. We haven't seen a lot of that, Stoke. In fact, this may be the first time I've seen Michael Penix Jr. mocked to the Broncos. Like that? Hate that? Is he the same as Bo Nix?
No, what? I don't like it at all.
Okay.
I think that's way too much of a risk at the number 12 spot. If you're the Denver Broncos, I think if you have the luxury of someone already in place there and you're picking a little bit later, okay, I'll take a flyer on him then. But the Broncos, they're not in a position to gamble on this pick, to gamble like that. To me, that's a big gamble. I mean, you say, why? I say, 4 years at Indiana, he didn't finish any of the years. He was out with two knees and two shoulders. That's not good for anybody, especially a quarterback. So the durability questions surrounding Michael Penix Jr. for me are too much to ignore and to gamble on a guy like that at 12. So I just don't see – usually you don't see a guy that's been really banged up in college. Like he's at a whole nother level that all of a sudden, not get hurt when he gets to the NFL. So that to me is too big of a red flag and a question mark for me to pick him at 12.
But you still think Bo Nix is a gamble as well, just not as much of a risk.
Well, I think Bo Nix is a gamble, and so is J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, really? McCarthy?
Oh, yeah. I think pretty much any quarterback is a gamble, and because of the risk of missing. That's setting you back 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to, you're picking very, very high if you're some of these teams. So overall, taking a quarterback is a huge risk because if you miss on that guy, how far that sets you back. And now you got to start the whole process over again. So, but a guy, I think when you look at Penix Jr. injury history, now all of a sudden that takes him to another level. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's like, okay, this guy can barely stay healthy. Now, he had, 2 years at Washington that he did stay healthy?
He did, yeah.
But it also is, I don't know, the Pac-12. I don't know how the defense is in the Pac-12 usually.
They're not SEC level, that's
right,
for sure.
Yeah. So I just see a guy that's going to come to the NFL, and, man, if he gets hurt, it's like, okay, well, you should have known that, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard enough to make that transition and play at a high level, but then now you have the question of, can he stay healthy?
Yeah, and I think that's fair. You go back to the national championship game when they lost against Michigan. He took a couple of hits, and he's holding his rib cage and limping around at the end of the game. I just thought it was interesting because we hadn't seen it, and then not only did NFL Network have a mock with Michael Penix Jr. coming to the Broncos, CBS Sports had it the very next day. So I saw this Saturday on NFL Network. Then Sunday I'm reading CBS Sports, and it's Michael Pittix Jr. to the Denver Broncos. So just kind of seeing that for the first time. And then the second part of this conversation, Stoke, was we're all in on offense. Is it as much as, and it's hard to say this 2 weeks in front of the draft, but you got pick 12, pick 76. In NFL Network's mock, they had them going defense at pick 76, an edge rusher out of Houston Christian. His name is Jalix Hunt. Are we still all in, like, offense? Do you just have to see how things shake up? In a perfect world, does it go quarterback, wide receiver, tight end in the third round? What would it look like for you ideally?
Yeah, I think, obviously, you don't know how it's going to play out for you, right? I mean, you don't know who's going to be picked in throughout the second round,
right,
or leading up to your pick. So that dictates who you pick, because ultimately it's not just about a position. It's about getting really good football players, mm-hmm, drafting them and getting them on your roster. Okay, that's what we need. I don't care if it's defensive tackle, edge rusher, linebacker, safety, cornerback, wide, like, you got to get, we got to upgrade this talent, the talent on the roster. But saying that, I do think it's offense first round, offense third round. And if they have anything in between, I think it's offense again. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be an offensive heavy draft, whether it means, like, how many picks do they have total? Seven, eight?
Eight picks.
Yeah, yeah, whether that's 5 out of 8, 6 out of 8. Like I said, obviously, a lot of that's determined by who is picked before you. But I do. I think you see Sean Payton realizing that he needs an upgrade around the quarterback position to help whoever that quarterback's going to be. And quite frankly, he's an offensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
you know, like, if you're an offensive guy and you go into work and you're looking around like, I don't care what I draw up here,
it's
going to be difficult for it to work. You know, that's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's the one calling the shots. So just put two and two together. Guess what? That means they're going to draft offensive guys.
I'm with you 100%. That's where you and I have been lined up for a few weeks, maybe even months, with what this draft could be, should be, for the Denver Broncos. Broncos country, what do you think? Where's your priorities as far as side of the ball with those eight picks? Answer what Stoke just said. How many of them should be on the offensive side? 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. Same rules over on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. Stoke, I don't know how much of a fan you are of the UFC. You into that at all?
I mean, I'm not grinding over it. You know, if it's on, I'll watch it. If it's, but I do. I mean, I like it. But I went to the event, the last one that they had here at Ball Arena a few years ago.
Oh, nice!
And up until that knockout you saw this past weekend, that was the best knockout in UFC history.
Yeah.
Right here at Ball Arena.
That's freaking sweet.
It was awesome. It was unbelievable. I think I told you before, I'm claustrophobic.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Right.
I just developed that out of the blue. I don't know what, because I had a bad experience in an MRI machine. I got too hot.
Okay.
And then I'm yelling for help, and, like,
no one's coming?
The person that's supposed to be back there is not coming.
Oh.
Right? And
that is terrible. I'm laughing because I'm picturing you freaking out.
No, you're laughing because you like me being in pain. Yes, it is. Like,
are you yelling for Lana, or who are you yelling for?
No, Lana's not helping me.
I thought that's default. You just go to that.
The technician. Help. Please, somebody help. And then it's like, screw this. Like, I'm starting to move. Like, you're supposed to be still. I'm like, I'm out of this thing, right? So then ever since then, I have to be heavily medicated to take an MRI. Okay. So, long story long here, right? I look at people on the ground with someone on top of them, and it's just like, ooh, that gives me I don't know. It's like, makes me start sweating.
Yeah.
So it's like hard for me to watch that when they're ground and pounding them.
Yeah.
And then, like, when they do, like, their shoulder behind them, and I'm like, holy cow, my shoulder would have just dislocated 5 times. So that's my only negative.
You have been in, like, dog piles.
Yeah.
This is all post-career stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
This is all, most of it. But, like, dog piles aren't bad. I mean, because I'm when I caught the ball, I get what I can, and I just dive forward, and maybe have one guy on top of you, two guys, right? I think it's the part about being, really restricted. Dog piles usually aren't that bad.
Okay.
And I was never diving in one for a fumble or anything.
Yeah.
Like, why would I do that?
Yeah, Cam Newton actually learned that move from you.
Yes.
He don't dive for the ball.
Right, I'm the president of that club. I'm dying for them. Why would I die? Like, you see how many injuries I've already had?
True.
That's that part. That's
risk
not,
reward.
That, yeah, that's that person's fault for fumbling. Let him dive in there. I'm not doing that. I never fumble the ball. So
that's true. Well, the reason I asked is just because you mentioned it. I think we might have witnessed one of the greatest moments in UFC history this weekend. It unfortunately came at the expense of a Colorado guy, at least a guy that reps Colorado and trains here, and Justin Gaethje went to UNC up there as a wrestler. They're fighting for the BMF belt, right? Which, again, that's just so UFC is just an MF belt. It doesn't really mean anything. You're just the baddest MF. And Max Holloway is winning the fight. It goes to decision. He's going to win the belt. And Max decides, hey, let's get in the, it's the BMF belt. Let's stand in the middle of the ring and just throw some haymakers at each other. And Justin Gaethje agreed, which he regretted that decision about 4.5 seconds later as his face was being rubbed across the canvas because he was out cold. It was, like I said,
with 1 second left.
With 1 second. He was going to lose anyway.
Right.
He just lost in a bigger fashion. But it was literally one of the best moments. I'm not a huge UFC guy, but I'll watch him. I'll watch the big ones for sure. And this was the biggest moment I've ever seen with my own two eyes. It was unreal.
Yeah, that was quite the finish there. Both guys standing in the middle just... the last round, dead tired, and just, like you said, throwing haymakers.
Yeah.
And one connected on our guy, our local guy here, unfortunately. And, hey, that's the way it goes. But, Max Holloway, kudos to him. Mm-hmm. Like, he had the thing won already.
Still down.
And just still said, let's do it. Yeah. And which they did. So, that was a great fight. Unbelievable finish.
It was awesome. UFC 300 lived up to the hype. All right, let's go back to Augusta, that is. Does Tiger ever win another tournament? Is anything in sports better than the green jacket? And is there anything better than being the number one golfer in the world? We're going to answer those questions coming up next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right. We want to talk a little bit about the Masters that was this week. Can you hear me, Stoak?
I got you. Okay. Loud and clear, okay. Buddy.
Good, good. All right, we're good. I want to talk about the Masters, about Scotty getting it done, Tiger, where he was, and what it means moving forward. I do want to just say real quick, maybe this is my fault. I've asked before if we could get like an answering machine, you know what I mean? Especially on Sundays when the Broncos play, where just people get to call and vent. Someone left us a voice note on the RamosLaw.com text line.
Okay.
At 303-713-1043, doing impersonations of each of us.
Wow.
They made fun of me about skateboarding.
Yeah.
They got after you a little bit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then they tried to sing a song as Chicken Fingers.
Wow. Chicken Fingers. You made the cut. How do you feel about that?
I got people doing covers of my stuff.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. How about that?
Made it big.
You made it.
So thank you. It's a texter from Kansas as well.
All right, shout out.
It's fun work. Nice work.
Go.
We just listened to it during the break, and we're amused by it, right?
Very, very entertaining.
It was nice. It was nice. Maybe you keep doing those every day. All right, so we talked about the Masters. Scottie Scheffler got it done. His second in 3 years. He's the best golfer in the world, and I don't know. You know golf better than I do. How quickly does that change? Like, Scottie is... His number one golfer in the world window stays open for how long?
Until he has kids.
Oh, crap. He's in trouble.
Usually it's till you get married and have kids.
Okay.
And it's just like, I'm just sorry if you get mad about that. But that's kind of the truth. You look at like a Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler. It's like, they're great, they're great, they're great. And then all of a sudden it's like marriage, kids. And then, like, why can't they golf anymore?
Yeah.
What has happened to these guys? So I think it's just difficult in golf. Like, you get to be, like, number one in the world, or you win a couple majors, and then all of a sudden to stay on the grind. Because that's what you got to do to stay sharp. I mean, it's like one or two strokes a tournament or swings a tournament or putts a tournament that determine whether you finish first or 21st. That's it, right? So, it's just that slight edge that maybe you had by grinding to get to that. It's hard for a lot of guys to continue to do that. And I said wife and kids, and I'm joking a little bit. But at the same time, like, you get there, and it's like, all right, man, I got this. So what? You start having a little bit more fun,
yep.
and you're not on the range as much, right? So we'll see with Scotty. Everyone's different. That's what makes what Tiger did so impressive. He stayed at the top for so long, and it's just hard to stay on the grind, especially for a guy like Tiger that just dominated pretty much from the beginning and had so much success. He stayed on the grind, and he kept that edge, which is a hard thing to do. For a lot of that time, though, he wasn't married, right?
That's right.
He was just hitting them streets,
yeah.
right? So
it was what Tiger wanted.
Yes. So, yeah, I think that's why it's really, really difficult to stay on top. Is just, you know, it's hard to keep that that drive.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's also I heard Scotty talking about this after the round, and after, you know, they're waiting to give him his jacket, and they're doing all the stuff, and they're talking to everybody, and he talked about being a father, and hey, golf now it's getting pushed down on the priority list a little bit. Now it's still top priority for him, but saying, yeah, I got to be a father, got to do all of that stuff. And then he also talked about, which I thought was interesting, and I think this is human nature, and it's been amplified in this era of life that we live in because of social media, because everybody's a camera and everybody thinks they're a star of their own movie and all this stuff. He talked about never being satisfied, and like golf is the ultimate of that, because there's always another tournament. There's always next year's Masters, and you got to go win that thing, and you're never satisfied. And he said you kind of get in this battle with yourself of like, do I need to prioritize golf? Because you're never going to be happy, even right now, as the world's best golfer and a Masters champion in 2 or 3 years. I just thought it was interesting because we all feel that way of like, right, it's, oh, I'm not doing good enough. You got to do this. Well, there's always something else to be done. It's hard to just live right here and go, damn, I just won the Masters the second time in 3 years, and I'm about to be a father for the first time. I thought it was a cool, like, hey, he's a human being moment for Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's your time, right? Where you used to be on the range, and now it's like, are you spending that time? Because like you used to, obviously. But I think when you look around, too, there's so many great golfers and up and coming that it's like they're hungry. They're grinding. And when you just let up a little bit, next thing you know, it's the difference. It's already so hard to win and stay on top as it is. You could play great and someone just go lights out and it's just not be good enough to win certain tournaments. That's why it's so impressive to do the things that he's been doing the things that Tiger did in this sport. Like, you don't have any teammates. There is no teammates, right? So it's just you by yourself, against yourself, and against the field. So, and it's, you know, I don't know, 80, 90 guys, 100 guys in a field, right? And it's a very, very difficult thing to do. And I think when you look, then you add a kid into the mix and you want to be there and watch your kid grow up and help out and those things. But some people kind of flip it and say, I'm going to work more.
Yeah.
I need to grind more, right? The baby starts crying. It's like, honey, I got to go to the range. Got to keep that short game short.
Yeah.
You know, got to stay on top of this thing. Call you later.
Right.
So I think, you know, some people like use it as an excuse to work more, but most people don't. And then you just lose just a little bit. And it's so competitive as it is that little bit, next thing you know, you're it's not that you're irrelevant, but you're just not at the top anymore. Yeah.
You're John Rahm.
You're Johnny Rahm.
Which is nothing wrong being John Rahm.
Well, one thing about John Rahm is, like, we haven't seen him this year because he's playing on LIV.
Oh, okay.
So
he's out of sight, out of mind for me, too.
Right.
Like, he's
and
not around.
Yeah, they're playing 3 rounds, and, you know, he got paid a lot of money. He's eating good. Like, Rahm, he's like, like, goodness, Rahm.
They're dressed like the bowlers at the Bowlerella up in Westminster every Friday night.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't blame the guy. But, yeah, it just becomes very, very difficult because it's already so competitive as it is.
All right. And then the other thing is we can kick this around a bit later, too. Like, what do you think success looks like for Tiger Woods the rest of his golf career? Because he's not winning. I don't think he's winning anything anymore. Like, what does success mean for Tiger? Was success playing in the Masters and finishing it? Is that kind of what we're looking at?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I think it would be. Like, if he's being honest with himself, what's I think when he, you know, he gets behind closed doors, he's not – I mean, his goal is always to win it, but, you know, I think he looks at last weekend and the last 4 days as a success.
Okay.
Being able to grind through it. He finished the tournament. When was the last time he finished a tournament? 4 days. It's been so long that I think that's a success right there. And I think ultimately, you know, what does it look like for Tiger? No, I don't think he wins again. It's just too difficult. And he's going to be playing so sporadically throughout the year, and it's mostly going to be the majors. That's all he's going to try to do is play in the majors and maybe one or two other events that he's kind of like the head of. And then, but other than that, that'll be it for him. He can't practice like he used to practice because of the injuries. So I think that's a success, is if he can make it to all the majors and play in them and then make a couple cuts, that's a win right there.
Did he win more or less than 39,600, or did he spend more or less than 39,600 getting ready for the Masters?
We spent way more.
Okay, yeah, so then he had a bad weekend.
Yeah. It's okay when you're when you're close to a billionaire. I think
You can lose some from time to time.
Yeah, I think it's a tax write off.
Okay,
but certainly probably the plane fuel on the private from Jupiter, Florida to Augusta probably was more than that paycheck.
Probably, yeah. I forgot that's how he travels.
Yeah, he wasn't getting on the Greyhound.
Okay,
you know, he didn't get that $100 ticket from Jupiter to Augusta. No.
He's not in boarding group B with me, right?
Right. No.
All right, I want to tell you about the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. It's back this time. We're sending a listener and a guest to a road trip, a game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. You're going to get two tickets to the game, round trip airfare, obviously, from Denver to wherever that destination may be. Two nights, hotel stay, $500 walking around money. And all you have to do is go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway, register, claim your special offer from Sport Clips, and that's it. Sit back and wait for us to call your name. If you've previously entered into a Fan Flyaway contest, you're already part of this one, so you don't have to register, but go tell everybody because it does include a plus one. denversports.com/fanflyaway. We're going to get back to the Nuggets and their possible playoff matchups, but we have some good news for you Rammies up there in FOCO about your basketball coach, and we'll share it with you next.